Next scripture reading comes also from the Old Testament, Song of Solomon, chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was a bit little that passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chambers of her that conceived me. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfume with myrrh and frankincense, with all powder of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Threescore valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst of being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O you daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So far the reading.
Beloved congregation, in Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21, we read that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou, Joseph, shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The announcement, you all know, boys and girls, of the birth, the coming birth of Jesus Christ. The angel of God, as a messenger of Jehovah, announced his birth to Joseph. He had to take Mary to his wife, and the angel said what she is expecting, what she has conceived already, is from the Holy Ghost. It is the Son of God. Something had to do with the fulfillment of the promise. Like the body of Mary, literally, was embracing the coming Lord Jesus Christ in the pregnancy, so the soul of God's children shall embrace Jesus, the living Savior. And in that way, God shall fulfill his own promises. We can also say, to Joseph, it became the season of Advent, approaching, coming. And now all the people of the Old and New Testament looked forward to the coming deliverer and savior whose name was Jesus. That means Jehovah saves. It's a contraction of Jehovah who is saving Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And in that first announcement in the New Testament, in the Bible, the New Testament part of God's Word, lost and convinced sinners, people of Adam, out of the root of Adam, descendants of the paradise, are moved to look forward to the newborn King. That was not only congregation the case with Joseph and Mary, to whom in a very special, personal way, the Lord by his angel came and revealed himself. But that's the case in the lives of all God's children. Time and again they are reminded of the fulfillment of God's promises. Time and again the Lord Jesus Christ has laid by God to their heart. And time and again they are moved to go out, so to say, to look that beautiful and precious Savior. It's not only a promise, but a promise, as we have seen last week in the Bible, is so often connected to the commandment. And let us give that our attention briefly. Before administering the Lord's table, I want to administer the Lord's word to you in an audible way out of the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, thereof verse 11a, the first words of verse 11 out of Song 3. There we read the word of God, the gospel word of the Old Testament already, as follows. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon. Until so far, our text this morning. The theme is the wedding of the daughter of Zion. The wedding, spiritually, of course, of the daughter of Zion. Congregation, I will leave past all the questions concerning how to explain the Song of Solomon. Very important questions and the answers to these questions. But it will take too long and it will be too difficult in a short sermon preceding the Lord's table. One thing is important to realize, the whole content of the Song of Solomon, all the 8 chapters, must be explained in a spiritual way. These are all kinds of metaphors, all different metaphors, most of them have to do with marriage. And these metaphors, together, they form a, so to say, spiritual explanation. Not a literal explanation. Not even a typological explanation, the story which can be a type of spiritual things. So, some people say, well, the Song of Solomon is about the marriage of Solomon with one of his women. Maybe the black-skinned Sulamit. And then they say it has to be explained literally. Other people say, well, it's like the story of Joseph, or the story of Ruth. It's a story which happened literally in the Bible and must be explained typologically. It's like pointing to something else also. Now we say, congregation, the Song of Solomon must not be explained literally or typologically, boys and girls, but like the metaphors in a spiritual way. A spiritual explanation. It's all about spiritual marriage. That's my theme in this morning. The wedding of the daughter of Zion. And now the bride, which has been spoken so often, which has been spoken so often in the Song of Solomon, depicts the church of God and then every individual believer on his or herself. The spiritual life in the hearts of all of God's children. And of course the bridegroom depicts the Lord Jesus Christ in his beauty, mercy, in his being king. Sometimes the image of king has been put to the foreground. Look to verse 9. The king Solomon. Also our text, the King Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, being resembled with the King Solomon. He himself does that in the New Testament when he says, "The greater Solomon I am, the more than Solomon is here." And sometimes Christ has been depicted, most times in the song, as the bridegroom. So a spiritual story. In this morning, a spiritual experience, if it is well. Not only the literal table with all the chairs around it, with the bread and the wine literally to be seen, taken, consumed, but spiritual. And that's, congregation, the ultimate goal and purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God in Christ by His Holy Spirit with all His people, to feed them and to nourish them with respectively the bread and the wine spiritually. I can turn it around also. That is the heart of the children of God, if it is well, to look unto Christ and to meet with the King in His beauty spiritually. Because it's something we cannot see with our eyes literally. Isaiah says in 53rd chapter, Christ in His beauty is, our eyes are closed for Christ. We do not see beauty in Christ, even not in His Lord's Supper, in His baptism, in all the things He gave, in His word, in His preaching, in His miracles on earth. We've seen it last time. That the people were interested in Christ, not because of the miracles, that means not because of His power, the things He had, He possessed, but only because of the bread. We are bowed down to earth too much, filled by ourselves with worldliness. And even the children of God must be lifted up out of the life natural. It's a spiritual story. That's my first point, so to say, in the explanation of the Song of Solomon. And now secondly, our attention is taken for the king. The considering image is the king, not a earthly king. Boys and girls, who reigns this world? Fill in some names. Nebuchadnezzar, David, even Solomon himself. But the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 21, he says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Jehovah in the highest. That was pertaining Christ, who entered the city of Jerusalem. We cannot say that from man. None on earth, Solomon says, is just, that doeth good and sinneth not. And who can say, I have made my heart clean, and I'm pure from my sins? A man's pride shall bring him low, and honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. We only can say it from the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Solomon says, He leads in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. He may cause those that love Him to inherit substance, and He will fill their treasures. That's why he says, blessed is the man, the woman, the child, which heareth unto me, watching daily at my gates, and waiting at the posts of my doors. He has riches and honor, durable riches and righteousness. A king reminds us, first of all, of power. What he wants to do is execute it. And this king, he is the Almighty King. He has all power in heaven and on earth. Didn't he take farewell with his disciples with that word? All power, all authority, actually, he says, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He spiritually stayed with them after he took farewell and he went up to the heaven, he ascended into heavens. He stayed with them as the Almighty King. Not only as the king, as a child who was born, and a son who was given, but also the king, Isaiah said, who has the government on his shoulder. And his name is wonderful in this morning as well, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The wonderful attribute of Christ's power is this morning depicted by the name Solomon. There's also another aspect. He is a merciful king. That was one of the things which was known of David, the father of Solomon. A merciful king, though he had sins, boys and girls, we know. But David, in the Psalms, we can read that so often, was a merciful king. And what he was and experienced in his heart, he wished to his son Solomon. Think about Psalm 72 we have sung about. A song of David to his son Solomon. Well, this king is a merciful king. He himself says, blessed is that people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk in the light of my countenance and rejoice in me all day, and they shall be exalted as the righteousness, because I am the merciful king. I will not leave my people to their own. I will embrace my people, because my dominion is not only a dominion of might and power, you can see that wherever in the world, but of mercy and faith and truth. And our third aspect, he's not only the mighty king, he's not only the merciful king, but congregation, is also the wise king. Solomon, the wisest man on earth. He knew everything to explain, think about his proverbs, wonderful spiritual things. To give the solution to difficulties, think about those two women who came to him claiming both of them that one child. All kinds of spiritual lessons in his Ecclesiastes, in his Solomon's Song, the wise king. To that respect, Jesus says, more than Solomon is with me. And if we now take these three attributes, might or power, mercy and wisdom, we have exactly the three offices of Christ. The mighty king, the merciful priest, high priest, by his blood, and the wise prophet. The greater Solomon. Behold, it says, King Solomon. What does that mean? Behold literally explains the work of grace. I read in one of the commentators, it explains the work of grace or the work of faith. That means that is directed to the heart of the believer, to the bride. They are called in our text the daughters of Zion. The commentators are not the same. Some say it means the daughters of Jerusalem. Some believers, they stand a little further, so to say. Sometimes they are striving and struggling with grace and with the bride, and there's some distinction between them and the bride, which is mentioned often in the song. But I even think that is not correct here. The daughters of Zion, they mean the bride altogether, all the people of God who live in Jerusalem, so to say. So the metaphor goes on. In the spiritual meaning of the Song of Solomon. Daughters, plural. And they are addressed in a very, very personal way. O ye daughters of Zion, behold, go forth. The grace of God in Christ cannot be that abundant that you do not need it to receive and to experience it personally. I will repeat. The grace of God in Christ cannot be that abundant that you do not need it and to experience it, to receive it personally. What do I mean? Oh, congregation, we all are invited to the dominion of this greater King. And we all are invited to the blood of this precious mediator. Come unto you, the Lord says, all ye ends of the world, and you shall be saved. We all are invited to listen to the wisdom of the greater Solomon. I mentioned some texts out of the Proverbs and out of the Ecclesia, out of the Solomon's song, the Song of Solomon. But we must receive it personally to be invited to the Lord's table. And that's what our text is going on now. And it says, O ye daughters of Zion. I put down on my notes the people of the greater Solomon. First of all, it looks to the place where they live, Zion. One of the mountains on which the city of Jerusalem was founded, and that's why also the city was in later days was mentioned, Zion as well. There Solomon lived. There was the habitation of Solomon, the great palace of the king. So the people are mentioned, are called after the place, the habitation of Solomon. That means they live in his neighborhood. That's important in this morning. It's not a preparatory sermon again and service, but yet I may ask you, do we live, do I live, do you live partaker of the Lord's Supper? Who wants to partake, who is thinking to partake in this mood? Do you live in his neighborhood? Not by nature. And we live in a desolate place, in the desert of sin. But they were looked up. They were found by Solomon. They were pulled by his power. And also pushed by his mercy, pulled by his mercy and pushed by his power to the wedding carriage, to take place there, to receive the place in one of the chairs of his carriage. And they were brought through the desert to Jerusalem. That's the image which is in our text and which you can read about in chapter 4 as well. And 3. King Solomon, it says, made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. So he provides a chariot that's kind of a vehicle, so to say, in older days, to bring those people out of the desert in the place he lived. To carry them with that carriage. And now the foundation, it was, like it says in verse 10, with the love for the daughters of Jerusalem. So he carries his people with love, eternal love. And then our text says, O ye daughters, look or behold King Solomon. He leads you as the mighty king. He provides everything for to your salvation as the merciful priest. He will guide you and teach you as the all-wise Solomon, as the prophet. And in all these metaphors, we see that carriage with the daughters of Jerusalem being attached to King Solomon. He pulled them with his love, I said, and pushed them with his almighty power through the wilderness. And they are brought in Jerusalem. That's why our text says, O ye daughters of Zion. And now we maybe would expect that Solomon would say in his spiritual text, so to say, in his spiritual metaphors, something about the leading of the king. He will do that. Or his presence, or his faithfulness, or the fulfillment of his promises. No, he focused on the command to go forth and to behold. And that made my text, or the choice to take this text in this morning, preceding to the administration of the Lord's Supper, the clearer. Two commandments to these people who already are brought into that chariot, verses 9 and 10, the metaphor of the chariot, the carriage, so to say, to Jerusalem, being paved with the love of the for the daughters of Jerusalem. Two commandments to these people. They cannot say, oh, I'm waiting till the Lord does do something. Yes, from God's standpoint perspective, that's true, 1000%. It's all by God, His love, mercy, His eternal salvation and provision of it. But faith, that's what one of the commentators said, I already mentioned, the life of grace and faith, give these two commandments to be clear. Go forth, that means, come unto me and behold. Is that possible? They are already in the chariot. Well, if you know the metaphor of the chariot, it will be clear. There's one man in front of the chariot, leading the horses. And the other ones are inside of the small little room after him. And now these two places were separated by curtains. Sometimes there were mean people, sinful people. They had also their chariots and they robbed possessions of people, even people themselves, and put them in their chariot. And they made it that way that the people inside could not look outside to not realize where they were brought to. But now Solomon, he says, taking that negative image, oh, the church of God, they may look out. And they may go forth and take that curtains and open those curtains and look unto the King Solomon. Not that they can do something themselves, but they have by faith to look to that king. A beautiful image, a beautiful metaphor. Go forth, come close as if possible to the King Solomon, who leads that chariot, who sits at the front, who steers these horses, who is all in charge, who has all power in heaven and on earth. And go forth, because you are dependent on Him, and you have to be close to Him. This is always necessary to leave the world and sin, and to turn unto Solomon. And now we also can take the image of the Lord's Supper, and closely connect it to our text. In the Lord's Supper, the King Solomon carries His people. He guides them. He protects them. And the foundation, like we saw in verse 10, is the love, eternal love of the triune God for the daughters of Jerusalem. Or you can also say the daughters of Zion. And now one command comes out of His mouth. Come close unto me. And open those curtains of your unbelief. Not that you can do it yourself. I've stressed that time and again. But open your eyes, O my people, for my beauty, for my love, for my faithfulness, for my power, for my protection. And behold whom? King Solomon. Behold, that means in original Hebrew, to gaze upon him. To look steadily. To look intensely. And there you see His mercy, His faithfulness, His pity, His compassion, like He says in one of the beautiful texts. My beloved is white and ruddy, the bride says, the chiefest among 10,000, His mouth is most sweet, yea, He is altogether lovely. You only can see that in being close to Him. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. One time, the disciples would give heed to this command of Jesus by faith. Three of them were brought to the mountain of transfiguration. And that Jesus transfigured, so to say. And they saw a beauty. They saw the beauty in Jesus alone. And they lifted up their eyes. That's what is said here. Come, go forth. And behold, and they saw no man save Jesus only. That is the commandment to His people this morning. From behind maybe the curtains of sins and unbelief and unfaithfulness from our perspective and in our lives. But go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon. Don't you dare to do that. Let one thing pull you. That carriage, the midst thereof, being paved with love. His love. For whom? For the daughters of Jerusalem. Amen.